Today's daf in Minachot is daf Chof Gimel, and we're holding on the third line down from the top. New sugya, being as we've been talking about bittul zevazeh, we've been talking about the very last sugya that we got into was the question of whether there might be an issue of riba shamna if you would absorb the shemen from one mincha which has more shemen proportionately than another, and the other one would be maybe called chaser. And there, Rabbi Yehuda, indeed, that held that because even though normally hold me maybe no any bottle, but since it's involved here with the solat as well, so we have to be misalik the solat, then we'd have to worry about the different proportions of belilas. That led us now to discuss bichlal the assumptions that we were making here, and that was that the mincha chareva would include a minchat chotei. And if it includes a minchat chotei, would mean that the komets of a minchat chotei that had shemen in it would be considered to be riba shamna. Surprisingly, today's sugya will find that that's very much not the case. So itma, komets of a minchat chotei sheshamno, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Pasul, but Reish Lakish surprisingly says, so if you got oil into the komets of a minchat chotei, so now it's a meruba shamna. So says Rabbi Yochanan, which l'chora would be the simple meaning that anyone would have thought. Reish Lakish says a remarkable thing, that hu atzmo, meaning l'chatchila, this would be the mitzvah, what it's meant to be, is hu atzmo. What it's meant to be is that at least mishach shecho b'shiarei halo u'ma'aleihu. You're supposed to get at least a little bit of shemen on it before you're ma'aleh. What exactly the shiare halug would be isn't very clear. Shiare, I mean, it doesn't have a lug. It would mean shiare halug, most learn shiare halug of some other mincha, even though you're supposed to bring all of the lug. But it's not possible that there shouldn't be something that's left inside of the lug shemen that you're going to use to mix with the mincha. So basically, you take that komets and you squish it around so that it gets at least a coating of oil on it. Some say this is logistic, which I don't believe, but it's logistic, because if you didn't do that, well, how are you possibly going to be able to bring a solar that's not going to scatter before it actually hits the Mizbeach? Some of it will blow away. I mean, it's just fine flour. How would you be able to do that? I'm really not persuaded that it's not chronic. But l'chor, the pashtus is because even though you say that we don't want the Minchas Chotei to be Mehudah, B'Shemen and B'Levona, but once you already did the Kemetz, now it's again the Mizbeach. So once you did the kmitza, so then it's muhudr for the Mizbeach, and you have a little bit of oil.
That aspect's finished.
Yeah, and now we'll deal with the komets. But it's not that his mincha's muhudr. His mincha's really not muhudr. It's not his business. It's what we do as the kohanim vis-a-vis the Mizbeach, so to speak.
So that was technically, you would pour the solid into the
lechora, and then you'd have to squish it around. Then the other way, that's what mishach shech means.
And if
shake it up
inside,
in it.
It's not a problem?
Like, no, you'd have to. Now it's a solid, so now you can get it all out. Yeah, enough of a solid.
So
it's sticky.
Yeah,
it'd be sticky. The edges would be sticky. Okay, so then obviously is that called riba shamno? If that's its mitzvah, I ask, how could that be its mitzvah? Doesn't it say lo yasim aleh shemen velo yitein aleh levona? I mean, how can you say you do this and this is mitzvah? No, that just means shelo yigbala shemen kichavrotel. It means it shouldn't be the same class as the other menachot. Should have its own kviut. But the fact that I'm going to take something that's left over from another mincha, that's not considered to be a violation on the rabba. That's meant to be what is necessary for the mizbeach. Eitve Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. How can you say this? What about the whole sugya of charev shenitarev v'balul? We have the whole question, we really touched on it yesterday, where you have a mincha chareva that got mixed up in a mincha balula. So the Chachamim say Yakriv, but Rabbi Yehuda holds Lo Yakriv, with the old problem that Lo Yakriv, because of the issue of the mixture of the different, the Shemen, when it's not supposed to have Shemen. I mean, normally when we talk about Chareiv, doesn't that normally refer to a Kometz of a Minchas Chotei? And that's a problem, that how you Riba Shamna? So, l'chore, that's the simple meaning, no? You took a komets of minchas chotei, which is chore, then it got mixed up with a komets of minchas adam. And it's saying over here, nothing like what you're saying. It's saying that, look, it could be that it's not possible, but not because it's mitzvah. I mean, you can be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's mamish a problem, the same problem he mentioned in the Mishnah. I would say, says Rish Lakish, that you know what it's referring to over here? Chareva. And I know you're going to think this is weird, but it's talking about relatively chareva. Because remember, I mean, the issue of Rabbi Yehuda is the question of different proportions of shemen. So we use it chareva. Why would it have to mean it doesn't have any shemen? Which would mean, in fact, I mean, we'd be pretty stuck then, because then we'd have to be referred to Minchas Chayde. And, or, I mean, we have the same situation with the Sota, but it doesn't matter. It would be the same halacha to use the same either. So, what you could say very simply is that it means something that is relatively charuv, that is mixed, and something that is relatively bolul. Where do we have something that's relative to the very portion? If you have a minchat parim ve'elim, that would be mixed into minchat kvasim. Okay? So this is referring to the minchat nesachim. It's not referring to the komets. There is no komets. It's referring to the minchat. Now if you analyze the proportion, I mean, the proportion over there is you have three lugim in one isaron, because it says berivitahin. Solat isaron berivitahin shemen, right? But that works out to a very high proportion, because that would be three lugim. Remember that a hin is 12 lugim. So that means that over here you've got three lugim, berivitahin, three lugim, and only one isaron. So that's three times as much as a normal mincha. And now when you get to the par, and you get to the ayil, you have a different proportion, because you have chatzi ahin for the par, which is six. So there you've got, when you're dealing with the parim, so you have a chatzi ahin, and the chatzi ahin is six lug, but you've got six lug in a proportion of two lugin per Isaron, because over there you've got much more of the Isronot. So a chatzi ha'in to shlosha esronim would be 2 to 1 as opposed to 3 to 1. And you've got the same 2 to 1 proportion of 4 to 2 in the case of the ayahs, even though they're all very different. But the par and the ayah are a proportion of 2 to 1 shemen to solet. And the keves turns out to be 3 to 1. So there, says Rish Lakish, you have a simple case in which you've got relatively chorev towards that which is much more balul. That's what it's referring to. Why does it have to be referring to something that's totally chorev? No, it's like, how can you say that? I mean, that the braita that we're asking from lists both of those cases. Look, it starts off by saying, in a case we have minchat parim ve'elim that get mixed with a minchat kvasim, or in a case where you have a chorev shenetarev bebalul. Now I'm telling you, the chorev shenetarev bebalul is clearly referring to the case of the minchat chotei, and it says over here yikarev. According to Chomim, that's only because ein olim bevatlim zedzeh. I mean, that's all. It's certainly not the right thing to do, but since ein olim bevatlim zedzeh, so okay, it's not a problem. Rebutus is still a problem because we have to analyze the proportion separately. But nobody says that it's okay. Maybe this is lo yikarev. Well, maybe it's all one case. It's just explaining it. It's perushik and mafarish. In other words, here's the problem. Minchat parim ve'elim minchat kvasim. What's the problem? It's a chorev shenitarev bebalul. So it's all one statement. It's just coming to explain the abstraction of the statement. By rub. So we don't have a raya from here.
Why is the other case of the chorev, a real chorev with this chotev? Problem with this.
Because according to Rish Lakish, why is there an issue of getting shemen in it?
Why can't it be also a question of proportionality? If it's only supposed to have a little bit, if it mixes with something else, then it's going to have a lot.
There's no definition. It was only shelo yikbalo shemen. There was certainly no yikbalo shemen. This is not going to be any worse than rolling it around. As a matter of fact, some even learn that the meaning of the luk shemen, there's a different perushim, the luk shemen shemen tzair. So some learn that it means to touch it to, exactly this case, touch it to the shirayim, so that it absorbs the shemen of the shirayim. That's the luk shemen, but it's the luk shemen that's in the shirayim of other menachos. Okay, but in any event, it's certainly no raya against Rish Lakish. Boy, Rava, how about a case where you take a comet and you squeeze it? and you squeeze some of the oil onto the etzim, and a little bit of the oil gets absorbed into the etzim. This is how Tosfos learns. A little bit of the oil gets absorbed into the etzim. A little bit of the oil is on top of the etzim. So, Mahu, what's the din over there? If you put the komets back onto the place where the oil is, do we say that since it's b'chubar, that Tosfos understands it, it's considered to be still there and you're being makrivit?
B'chubar to what? To the outs.
It's, in other words, there's oil on top of the eights and there's oil that's in the eights.
Right.
So you could, if you're going to say that the oil in the eights has been absorbed now and it's not no longer there, so then the kaimitz was chaser. The kaimitz was chaser, so then you're not going to be able to be mad to the mincha. Because it was chaser shamna. But if when you put it on now, since part of it is be'en, it's b'chuber, what's inside is b'chuber to what is outside, so maybe it's all considered to be being brought together with the comments. That's one approach. The other approach, Rashi learns, is basically the opposite approach. It was if you hold that it's considered to be mechuber, so then what is mechaber, the shemen, is now the solet. In other words, the solet that is being put now on top of the shemen is considered to be the equivalent of the shemen that's muvla inside of the comments, not inside of the etzim. He doesn't learn the problem is that there's oil in the etzim. There's yet a third shot. There's actually six different shots, believe it or not. There's another shot that the etzim would require separate haktora on etzim because the oilim that are in the etzim are considered to be part of what needs halal. So whatever is mechuber to it in the eights would require also halal. Okay. But in any event, what would we hold about either the kaimetz now as a chaser, or what would we hold about the oil in the eights? Do we say chiburei olin ka'olin damu? That those things which are actually normally connected, so that whatever was before mechuber, the shemen to the kaimetz, when I put it back down on the Eitzim, Rashi learns, so it's as if the Shemen that was in the Kometz is now still in the Kometz, or according to Tosfos, it's as if the Shemen that's in the Eitzim is Mechuber to the Shemen, and therefore it's all been brought together with the Kometz. Do we say it's Ke'ilim Doma or not? That's like an old Machlokas that we've discussed in the past. Chibure Olin, this is like a weird example of that machlokas. The simple classic case of that machlokas was the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, who argued about Hamala Eivar Shein Bo Kizayit. Here it's talking about Halas Chutz, the Chi of Kores, Bin Mala, outside of the Azorah. So somebody, and the din over there, of course, just like any Haktor, it has to be a Shir of a Kizayit. So here he takes an Eivar, and you don't have a kezayit of basar, but if you add the bone, which lamaisa, the bone is not really chayiv and haktar, unless it's b'chuber to the basar. So there you have chibure oil. So that's the question. Do we say if the etzim is mashlimo le kezayit, so we have chibure oil? If chibure oil, things that are being brought together attached, they're in contact with, which is the case over here. You have the comments, it's in contact with the oil, like Rashi, or you have the oil inside the eights, which is in contact with the oil on top of the eights, according to Tosfos. It's the same case, right? So Rabbi Yochanan says you can connect those two things. They're all considered to be part of the halah, despite the fact that the etzem itself, if you brought it on its own, would not have been considered to be halah. But it's now kibur yochanan, it's mashlim to the gezayit, reish lakish amar patur. And they even speak that out. So Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav, Chibor Eolin Kolin Domo. Resh Lakish Amar Patur, Chibor Eolin Lav Kolin Domo. So like, you know, you've discovered America now. Well, what kind of question is this? It's an old machlokas. Says Ravina, not true. Says Ravina, not true. Because I could ask this question according to either approach here. Tiboyle Rabbi Yochanan and Tiboyle Resh Lakish. I would say, well, let's start with Rabbi Yochanan. He's saying over here, Chiburi Olin Kolin Domo. Well, I would still ask him, Rabbi Yochanan, Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yochanan hatam, ela be'etzem. I understand that if you're willing to entertain the notion that a bone that's attached to the meat, which is its natural situation, where over there it's mina de basar, that Rabbi Yochanan came to the conclusion that you're going to tell me that because of that oil, there's nothing to do with the flour except the fact that I coincidentally mix them. So you're going to say that that's, even though it's lab mina de kemetsu, and now it got separated, it's as if it's attached because it's in contact? Why would you say that? Maybe this is, since it's lab mina de kemetsu, maybe even Rabbi Yochanan would say we would never consider that to be all one thing, and lo. Or I can ask it in the other direction. I could say, even according to Rish Lakish, who normally would say that I would say, well, that's because it's so easy to separate out an etzem from the basar. I mean, that will actually usually happen. You put something on the mizbeah, the meat will burn up. Oftentimes we have the discussion of poking. We're not even mavzer. If the etzem falls off of the mizbeach, which it's likely to do if it's no longer mechubet to the basar, we won't put it back on. So over there it's bar mifreshu. It's the norm that it's going to become detached. Imagine you're going to tell me a komets? Komets is the derech is to be mafresh, the komets? The meshemen from the komets? I mean, this is the way it's usually burned. The fact somebody came over and squeezed it, you're going to tell me that has something to do with the normal case of chiburei oileh? So, Yiparish, in the case of the Etzem, there's not even a mitzvah la'adure. But Shemen is not bar mifreshu. It's part of the Akhtarah. It would be exactly the same thing as some of the comets falling off of the Mizbeach, or some of the oil fell off of the Mizbeach. It's still exactly what it was.
It's still considered the comets.
It's part of the comets. So maybe even Rish Lakish would hold that that's considered to be chuburei olam. Or maybe not. I mean, I don't know. But I'm asking a perfectly reasonable question according to both approaches. And therefore, it's irrelevant what the din was of Libra Rabbi Rish Lakish, and nobody's got an answer to that one. Let the question stand. Take. Continues the Halakha Mishnah. Shtei Menachot. In a case where you have two Menachot that never had their komets taken, and they got mixed up, one or the other. Now, it depends how badly they got mixed up. I cannot take a komets that has anything in it from another menachah. It has to be misolta. And it has to be shalom, as we saw the entire thing. So this is a disaster. So if the edges are still separate, so they just got mixed up along the point where they were connected, but mostly they're in different places.
2 minutes in one
kli? Yeah, whatever. They originally were in one kli. Maybe they got mixed up, or maybe they were in separate kli, they got mixed up. So whatever the case is, I put them in, and now the edges are touching. So I still have a place where I could take out the comments, bizubi for the hatsman, bizubi for the hatsman. There's no problem. So do so. There's no problem with tarovet. Why there's no problem with tarovet is not quite clear. Because, I mean, would there not be an issue of bittul of whichever one was more in the area that they mixed? That we're going to discuss. Does this depend on mim b'mino lo batol or on eilo mim b'batlim? That we'll have to talk about.
Same kind of bittul?
Yeah, the chora, same kind of, certainly in terms of the amount of shemen, the proportion of shemen, we're not talking about chareva and that we discussed before. So if I could do the komets, fine, then both of them are possible. If not, then both of them are kosher. If not, both of them are possible. Now how about if a komets falls into another mincha, and that mincha never had its komets taken? Now you got a serious problem, because the mincha into which it's mixed here is basically tevel. We call this tevel also. In other words, in the sense that it hasn't had its truma, so to speak. The part you would take out from the komets that's taken out of it, it's there's no way to take it out now. So in this case here, it was nitare. The mamash got mixed up in the mincha. So you can't be makter. You're not, according to many shittas, you're not even allowed in this case. Remember, we darshan lo yaktir mimenu yishel Hashem by kol sor v'chol dvash. Now, there's a drasha over there that the mimenu comes to tell me kol shemimenu le'ishim lo taktiru. Anything that has any element of it that would go on to the Eshem Mizbeach is an iser diraita to be maktir once that's been done. So that obviously would mean if you took the shirayim where the komets had been already taken out, and that's mimenu le'ishim lo taktiru. You're not allowed to bring shirayim. There's a machloket achronim, whether that also means then in a case where you never took out the komet, lo taktiro. In other words, is this saying that even something that was shayach mizbeach, koshkin something not shayach mizbeach, there's an isser in being maktir? Okay, that's a machlokas, but kuli almas meida, you don't put something on the mizbeach that's not really the mizbeach, whether it's an isser lav or whether it's just a violation of norms. But you certainly can't be maktir a non komutz mincha tevula on the mizbeach.
You're putting kohanim.
Nobody's, yeah, obviously that's it. There is no komutz in the kohanim. So therefore, you cannot be maktir this. Lamaisa, if you did wrongly, in hiktir, then the one that had the komutz taken from it is okay. It's eila labalim, because look, I mean, look what? Here we got a problem again, a bitul, which we're going to have to discuss. Why was it a komutz, a little komutz? Why isn't it batul in the whole minhag? Why isn't it batul berov? Again, maybe because it's min b'mino, or maybe because ain olim mevatlim zu
azer. What was he not here, is
there? The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah. So over here, we know that the komutz was hukta ala mizbeach, so it's kosher. But the one that was lo nimkitsa, obviously, is lo l'balam, and they never had a matir. Now how about if the komutz falls into its own shirayim, falls back into where it was, or it falls into shiorim minchut chaverta? So there also, lo yaktir, there for sure it's an isur d'oraita, because this is mimenu le'ishi mamash, v'im yaktir ola l'balam. There too, if it was done by isur, it's ola l'balam. Now we're going to see that the significance in these cases in terms of bittul questions. And this fits right into, amazingly, the beginning of the sugya, which started off with the question of how we view the bittul. We raised really three issues. One was stam, min v'minay. The other one, sheet of the chachamim, against Rebbe, was not that min v'minay is impossible, but that oilin are not mavatim zetzet. And then we had another question of what to do when there's more than two items that are involved. And already we were entertaining various thoughts about what defines min b'mino. We spoke about dam as the question of mar'eh. Is the mar'eh what defines it? So you have yayin and dam in terms of the bittul, different types of damim, dam ha'parva, dam ha'soyer. Is it the halacha that was involved, which the Ran suggested what the chachamim? Today we're going to see that things are not even as simple as we thought they were, even on that level. So, Omer of Chista, and the reason, even though this sounds like, whoa, what are we talking about? Does this have to do with our Mishnah? But we're going to see very quickly that it has everything to do with our Mishnah. Suppose a nevela falls into shchuta. You have two pieces of meat. So one, let's say that you have two pieces of kosher meat, and one piece of nevela. That's what we're talking about, nevela, betela, b'shruta. So yeah, bitul berov. Assuming that there's no problem of the, before I even say that, I should mention that there's a big machlokas rishonim as to whether this sugya has implications for bitul agabe achila, or whether it's specifically a din in tuma. The Rambam isolates this from the way he paskins the dinim of achila, and understands this to be a specific halacha in the bittul of tuma. So what I was about to say, it depends about whether the chaticha is chashuva and bichlal not bato, because it's chaticha really tkabed. When it comes to tuma, that's not an issue bichlal. Okay, but let's assume for simplicity's sake that this is, there's no other issues involved. We won't make any distinctions, and we're talking straight out about all the dinim of tarovet, in which we have a dinim bittul berov. So, says Rav Chisda, if you've got now two steaks that are kosher steaks, and one steak that's an avela, and you touched one of them, and you don't know which one, or a truma touches one of them, you don't know which one it touched. It wouldn't matter. But you know why it wouldn't matter? Because E.F. Shalash Kutashite Asen Nevela. Now, that is a very, very strange statement. Unless, I mean, what do you immediately think? Oh, in other words, what he's saying is that this is Min B'She'en Omina. In other words, he's troubled by the fact, but wait, if you hold Min B'Mino, So then who cares if it's 2-1? If your min b'mino is never batal, isn't meat the same as meat? So when he's talking about, well, meat A can never become meat B, he's got to be explaining why it's min b'sheino mino. There's no other meaning to the statement, right? And therefore, he's concerned with the fact that they are really capable, in a sense, of being the same, as we'll see, and therefore should never be batal. But in this case, the shchuta could never become nevela. And therefore, it would be, if we go according to what is being mevatel, and in this case, the mevatel is the shchuta, the meat that shchuta, there were two pieces of. The nevela is batel. You can never turn kosher meat into non-kosher meat. But the other way around, you can turn kosher meat, non-kosher meat, into kosher meat. How is that? Because if you're talking about the din of tumah here, a nevela can certainly become shchuta, and therefore, if you have the shchuta that falls into the nevela, it will not be batal, because nevela can become shchuta. How? The moment that it starts to decay, now porchatum'ah, because it has to be ru'uya lager. What does it say to do with the nevela? Lager asher b'sharecha, titnena, and how are you going to be titnena here if it's a piece of rotting meat? Bi'ochela, he's going to eat it? He's not going to eat it. And therefore, it doesn't have the din of tumah, because that's in the context of what the din of tumah's nevela is. So since it would be possible for these two things to end up the same, again, what it seems to be saying is that then it would be min b'mina and it would never be bata. Wow. Okay. Rabbi Hanina says just the opposite. Kosh efshar lo liyot kamohu eno batel. If now the batel, in other words, the lesser amount, could be kamohu, meaning of the mevatel, then it's not batel. The other way, the opposite way than what you said. So, in other words,
this is an explanation of me,
but no, I'm arguing. I'm arguing on what Reb Chista said. It's a different. It seems to be a redefinition of mevimino, as we'll see in a moment. We're always going to talk it out. But in any event, what you look at over here, says Reb Chanin, is not the way Reb Chista says. That the nevela is betela b'shuta because the mevatel could never be the nevela. I say it's the other way around, says Reb Chanina. That whatever is in the batel, the muat, that could be like the mevatel, then it's min b'mino. But if it can't be like the mevatel, then it would be batel, and therefore I would invert what it was that Reb Chista said. Always look at the lesser thing and see if it could be the same as the rov. If it could be the same as the rov, it's not going to be bata. But if the rov can be like it, then it would be bata. Reb Chista says just the opposite. It goes in the other direction. You can look at the mevatel. If the mevatel could be like the batel, then it's never bata. But the mevatel, such as the case that I said, you'll never find a shchuta becoming a nevela, then it's not considered to be min b'mino, and it would be bata.
Because it's din of tumah that makes min b'mino.
Yes.
You can't see something, you can't.
Correct. Right. This one is called shchuta, and this one is called nevela. Again, the question whether this is a general principle, whether it's specifically here, who this is going according to, is it going according to Rabbi Yud, is it going to Rabban, not all the Gemara is going to discuss that. So, right now we have like completely out of left field this amazing new halacha, which of course has very profound implications for the entire din of bittul. But it's why would it go only in one direction? It's obviously saying something about the way bittul works. If you go according to the mevatel will never be this. So then it's the overwhelming nature of the mevatel. The other way of looking at it's the fact that this thing is no longer chashev, not that mevatel gives it its din, but that it is as if it isn't there. Now, it's two very different ways of looking at the din of bittul. But in any event, let's see how it ties into our sugya. Now, our first question is, whoa, who are we going according to? Aliba the Man. I mean, if you're talking about the Shita that we had over here of the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan don't care about Min Bimino, Min Beish, Eino Mino. They only cared about Eino Lim about Lim Zed. And we're not talking about Olim over here. So surely this sugya could not be an extension of the Shita of the Rabbanan. We spoke out yesterday that the Rabbanan say, forget about Min Bimino. If the Torah wanted to tell you Din of Min Bimino, why would it have spoken about a case of Olim? So therefore, who cares what's similar to what? There's no Din of Min Bimino in Ubato. Forget about that. So it's only Olino de Lulatiyada. The Abu Min Bimino is Batal anyway. But if you tell me it's going on the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda never talked about whether something has a din of something else. He spoke about whether something looks like something else on a physical level. He said, "Ein dam avatal dam." That's what he said, and that's what's going to define it. And if that's the case, you can't see the difference between Nevela and Shkuta. So why would Rabbi Yehuda suddenly begin to take into consideration the issue? Remember that according to the Ram, that per se was the question between the Chachamim and the because Olim is a din. So since both of these are Olim, the Torah is saying that they are not Mavatlim Zedza.
So this is a problem going to the Ram, because this would sound like this is exactly like the
Not really, because there's balances of issues about it being the same halakhic status in the same set. Let's wait before we get to the Ram. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, because you see, in a sense, it's similar to the Ram, because he's saying, isn't that the whole point that Rabbi Yehuda is making? That who cares if they're Olin? That the very fact that we spoke about a case which is also both Dam can't be coincidental. Mash, but if it would have been the same din, if it hadn't both been the same physical object, we would never have viewed it as min bimino in a bottle. So it's that way it becomes a powerful statement in which Rabbi Yehuda is bedavka rejecting the halakhic status. And that's on this miracle issue of olim avatim zeze. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you hold bottle chazuta azus, in this case it's both meat. What do I care which one could become the din of which? He rejected that approach. So idi v'idi would be min b'mino. I don't care whether the mavatal is the shkuta or the mavatal is the vela. It's an irrelevant discussion. Says the Gemara, well, there is another shita. Reb Chiya brings that there's this braita in which the Tani Rebbe Chiya, nivela u'shkuta, can be betelot zo bezo. Now, without explaining very well A in B or B in A or either in either, and it's here that Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Chista come along to just define how they understand what it was that Rabbi Chiya was saying. But what's Rabbi Chiya Shita? I mean, Rabbi Chiya Libedaman. Is Rabbi Chiya saying that according to the Rabbanan, that it's nogea, nevela v'shkuta? I mean, the Rabbanan say, olin or not mevat le'adali, min b'mino is batel, and then there would be no point in discussing which one is batel in which. If it's going to leave the Rabbi Yehuda, anything called min b'mino, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not batel, and you have no issue with whether it's the Veil or Shkut or anything else. And again, Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Chista would be arguing in a complete vacuum. Well, no, I mean, that's the point of Rabbi Chiya, you see. I mean, they're arguing, indeed, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. But all that Rabbi Yehuda meant was, Kikam Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino lo bato, he is still made it, that it's dafka hanimili in a case where it's efshel lamave kavate. All he's saying is that min b'mino is not bato, if in some way they could theoretically end up with the same din. If they could never be in the same set in terms of halacha, they would be batel. Now the question is, okay, but how does bittel work? Which one should that be able to be like what? So, Bahakam Ifagay Rav Chista is saying go according to the Mevatel. If the Mevatel can become the same as the Batel, that's what defines being Bimino. Whereas Rabbi Chanina Sava, on the contrary, go according to the Batel. All right. I'd like to see how this fits into our sugi with Rabbi Yehuda, if you don't mind. Can we look back at the Mishnah tonight? Shtei menachot shelo nikmetzu. Let's take that first case. Two menachot get mixed up, and the edges mix. And now they're nedarvu zibazu. So if it's only the edges, so we said, im yachol likmotz, mizo bifnei atzma, and mizo bifnei atzma, they're kishirot. And im lav, they're psulot. Okay? Now, explain to me. Here we're talking about taking out the comets. Och, akiven the comets le michoda. I take out now the comets. The moment that I take out the comets from one of them, what's the din on the other one? It's now a mincha that is mixed with shirayim, correct? Okay. So idach havele shirayim. Whatever was left from the mincha that I took out, I'm not concerned about the fact that the shirayim, which can never become oilim, I mean, the oilim can become shirayim, but take out the mincha. So here I've got shirayim that are not, for some reason, being mevato, the tevel. Because whatever was left over from the first one is shirayim of a mincha, and yet it's not going to be mevato, the shirayim of that other mincha at all. Because even though, despite the fact that there's mixing along the edges, and now they are no longer the same. Mm-hmm. Correct? Because I've changed the din.
One had the comets taken.
The minute I take out that comets, so I've changed the din. So I've got shirayim. I've got shirayim mixed with teva. Why don't I have a problem of a mincha that was chosra before its own knitza?
Why is it chosra?
Because whatever pieces were along the edge that scattered, they're now mixed up amongst shiorei menachos. So why wouldn't they? You said I could do both of them. Shamus. I cannot go, I take the comments of one, now I can go over and take the comments of the other. How can I take the comments of the other if it now is becoming a problem of a mincha chasera? Because now they have separate dinner. So is that not a problem? Hacha, given the comments of Michara, the moment that you go ahead and you take out that first comment, you now make shirayim, okay? These shirayim are not mevatel the tevel. Now, I want to understand our Mishnah. Is the Mishnah going to the Rabbanan? I mean, the Rabbanan only said olin are not mevatel one another. Min b'mino is batel. And over here, we do not have olin. Shirayim are not olin. Okay, so don't talk to me about the Chachamim saying, well, there's not a problem because it's olin. So it's not olin. Fine. So then it can't be the Rabbanan. So then it's got to be Rabbi Yehuda, okay? So now, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, how do Rabbi Chista and Rabbi Chanina argue about something which would have to be innate in the Mishnah? Because if you hold Bishlama Lamandi Amar, Batel Azlinan, if you're going to tell me you go according to the thing that is being bought, okay? The thing that's being bought in this case indeed could be like the Mevatel. Why? Because if I take the comments from the second mincha, then I would be able to turn this into shirayim as well. So then the tevel would become shirayim. Fine. Then it makes sense. So then batel azlinan. So in this case, the batel would become Mevatel, because when I do go ahead and I'm comments miidach, then whatever would be left would become shirayim, exactly the same way that kihani. Like the first shirayim are shirayim, and therefore you've got min b'minai. So the very fact that that would be possible to do means that I can do it. In other words, it's not batel, so now I can go ahead and do the comments and actually achieve that end. Right? Because as we talked about, it's not what its status is now, it's kosher efshar lo liyot kamo. So the very fact that theoretically if I would take the comments, in other words, starting out over with the problem of how can you take the comments? But theoretically, if that comments were removed, then indeed it would be shirayim. Therefore, I can actually take the comments, because that's what defines the question of the bittul. But if you're going to try to tell me that you go according to the Mavata, like what Krista said, So then how could you ever turn Shirayim into Teva? So that would mean that essentially this Shita of Reb Chiya that Reb Chisda is explaining is clearly mustar from our own Mishnah. So you're going to tell me that it's the Lok Reb Chiya? In other words, according to Reb Chisda, indeed, there's no way to square this with our Mishnah, or some have the gears to the Lok Reb Chisda. Because after all, it's only a problem in Reb Chisda. The way we're learning now, Reb Chisda, Reb Chanina, we're arguing in Reb Chiya. No, says the Gemara, because there's a new principle that you're not aware of. And that new principle changes any raya that you're going to bring that has to do with Shirayim and Menachas. You know why? Because there's Rabbi Zera's drush, which we're going to get to by the end of the daf, in which Rabbi Zera says, the Amar Rabbi Zera, look, the word Haktara is said about Shirayim. And it's also said about the Kometz, obviously. Now, where in the world is the word Haktara said by Shira? I just told you. Kol Sa'or v'chol Devash lo taktiru mimenu. Kol she'mimenu li'ishim lo taktiru. So that means we're using the word taktiru on the Shirayim.
Don't,
but fine, but it means it's shayach to the concept of Hector. And it says Haktara in the Kometz itself, obviously. That's the Ikedin Haktira. Therefore, Ma Haktara Amoraba Kometz, in Kometz Bevatel Chaveiro, it's coming to compare the two. Because even according to Rabbi Yehuda, right, I mean, obviously, Kometz Bekometz Chaverta, for sure we're not going to be Bevatel. So, Kometz is not Bevatel Chaveiro, in which case, Haktara Amoraba Shirayim is no different. And that Shirayim can never be Mevatel the Kometz. In which case, the Torah is basically comparing all the elements of the Mincha to each other and saying that they cannot be Mevatel each other. So forget about bringing this case as a Raya. This case is irrelevant to Rabbi Chiya. Okay, how about the next case? Tashma, what's the next case in our mission? Kometz shinit arev b'mincha sholo nikmisa. Here we've got a kometz that's being mixed into teva, basically lo yaktir. The imiktir, at least the one that was nikmitsa's alta labalim, the one that was lo nikmitsa lo alta labalim, end of quote from the Mishnah. Now, in this case, you've got a little bit of kometz that is mixed into a bunch of teva. And, nonetheless, it doesn't have a problem of being batel berov. And the kometz is there. And it was a kosher haktara. V'lokam avatel leitiva l'kometz. Now tell me who the author of that shita is. If it's Rabbanan, why in the world would the minchas tevel not be mavatel the kometz? It's certainly not oilin. It's tevel. It's not roy to be oilin to the mizbeah. So according to Rabbanan, ha'omrim olinu lovavat lehadadi. They say the question is boiled down to the simple issue of whether this is meant to be put on the Mizbeach. Obviously, a minchas tevel is not meant to be put on the Mizbeach. Ha'min b'mino would be batel. So according to them, how could I possibly bring a non-existent kometz onto the Mizbeach? It's batel. And it's got to be there for l'pshita to Rabbi Yehuda. Again, we've got the same problem over here. So, Bishlama, if you're going to tell me over here that we're going according to the Mandi Omar, who says that we look at the Mevatel, okay, and then that's what defines Mimbimina. In this case, the Mevatel can, in fact, be like the Batel, because I could, theoretically, look at every piece of Solet in this Minchas Tevel and say, well, this Minchas Solet could be put into a Kometz, and then it would be Eilin, like, right? Each piece of it would be the same as the Kometz piece. So they really have the same halacha. And since it was Chazir L'Mikvetz Minei, so now it becomes Min B'mino, and Min B'mino Lo Batel, which explains why if I put it on the Mizbeach, it's all fine. But according, in this version, Reb Chanina, the Man Yomar, Batel Mevatel, the Batel Aslina, We look at the thing, in this case, the Kometz. How in the world can the Kometz go back to being Teva? Kometz will never be Teva. So, Kometz be Gabi Tivla, in which case, does it mean B'Sheno Mino? Does it mean B'Sheno Mino? It ought to be Bato. So, are we saying now that Aliba Rebbe Chanina, it's the local Rebbe Chia? No, well, isn't it the same answer we answered you before? This is the same issue that Rebbe Zera pointed out, that the word lahaktir basically will define all elements of a mincha. So it would work out, according to Rebbe Zera, that this is a unique case. Okay, let's take the next case. Nitarev the kometz bishirayim shel chaverta, or in bishireha, either case. Lo yaktir mimiktir al talabalim. Now, over here, lo havi mevatel kebatil. Certainly, there is no way to turn the mevatel into the thing that's becoming batel, because there's no way to turn the shirayim into the kometz. And nonetheless, lo kamevatel shirayim lo kometz. Go through the whole thing, money, rabbanan, lemed lo kribichia. And it is here, in this case specifically, that Rebbe Zera had said what he said, because obviously the case of Rebbe Zera was aimed at specifically the relation of kometz to shirayim, which is this case. The other cases were extensions of the concept of Rebbe Zera, who were not exactly what Rebbe Zera had said. What we were saying before was, as Rebbe Zera said about this case. And that's why he phrased it in the way of the relationship of kometz to shirayim. Amar Rebbe Zera, nemra haktora bekometz, v'nemra haktora b'shirayim, ma haktora ha'amura bekometz, ein kometz v'vatel et chavero, af haktora ha'amura b'shirayim, ein shirayim v'vatelim et hakometz. Okay. Toshma, let me ask you something. Suppose you took matzah, and most learn that this is referring, Rambam learns is referring to the matzah of a mincha. This is machlokas Rambam v'raivet about, we're talking about achila, the shirayim, we're talking about the but whatever, the simple meaning, the way Rashi learns it, and most of the Rishonim on the daf, understand it's referring to Pesach. The matzah treat Pesach night. Now, we all know that the matzah treat Pesach night cannot be mixed with something that turns it into non-lechem oni. So you can't mix it with oil or with wine and so on. But surprisingly, sorry? No, it's not, then it's not lechem oni. But suppose Tivla beketzach. Does anybody remember what ketzach is in English? It's this new treat. They give it out on El Al. It's the ketzach flavor that I keep forgetting. It's that sharp seed. It's that little... What's it called? Fennel? Great, thank you. Yes, okay. So it's a... If you now put a little bit of fennel into your matzah, which does not turn into matzah ashira, because using seeds on it is not called matzah ashira. It's the different dough that makes it matzah ashira. So it's not a problem not being yotzi or chiyav of matzah. Our problem is over here that the tavlin, what we thought it meant is that you've got a mute of matzah in this ingredients. So you've got tzumtzumin or whatever, komine tavlins. You mix it with fennel or with sesame, or anything that gives it taste, right? Seeds. And then it's kosher. Why? Because it's still matzah. It's just called matzah metubelet. Now, it's very tasty matzah. Now, we thought at this point that there's more tavlin here than matzah. So, bishlam alamand yomar batar batelas linan. It's true that the matzah, which is the miyat, and therefore the batel, could become like the mevatel. It could? Well, yeah, because if the matzah turns stale, so then indeed l'chima apsha, it ends up having the same din as the tavlin, meaning it's no longer called matzah. But according to the Man D'Arma, that you go with the mevatel's identification, how could tavlin ever become matzah? So tavlin mikahavi matzah? And therefore, we should say that there's a problem of a bittul. Forget about the problem of the taste. Well, who's to say that we're talking about that there was so much tavlin? Maybe it's ruba matzah. Some we were using the dough as something that's connecting your little treat over here as a sesame fennel treat. It's real matzah. It had a little bit of flavor, that's all. And therefore, it's ruba matzah, and it's not batel. By the way, I mean, if you just read it, isn't that the way that you should be medayek? It says, matzah hi, el shenikret matzah metubelet. Is that what you say when you're talking about a sesame treat? It really is matzah, it's just called flavored matzah? Come on, man. Shmami know that indeed that's the case, and therefore, b'chlal, this has nothing to do with bitel at all. Where's the bitel? What are you going to be bavato the tavlin? What would the bitel?
Is the bitel we're talking about bitel of the tav now? Of matzah?
No.
Of your mouth.
Yeah. We're not talking about that. Well, if you buy, again, if you buy a